I can't think of a better guest to have on right now with everything that happened today than our next guest. It's the coach, Tim Lacombe. How you doing?
What's up? How you guys doing?
Lots going. But can you make the news stop, Tim? There's like, what's up is everything. We got the NHL coming to Utah. We have the stuff with BYU. And we had Danny H today. I mean, I can only take so much breaking news and interesting stuff going on, but it makes for good sports talk radio, so let's dig into it. The first thing I want to get you on is the reaction that you had to the hire of Kevin Young at BYU. I didn't think that they would be able to pull this off, bringing somebody that should be coaching as a head coach in the NBA to come to BYU. How'd they do it?
Well, I think, you know, this was the first time that they've made a hire with the Big 12 as the backdrop. And I think it's been pretty obvious that with Coach Pope leaving, you know, I think there was all hands on deck mentality. I think they understood how important it was to act quickly. But man, a lot happened. They really kind of, they got a lot done in a short period of time. And I think did a heck of a job in identifying. Now I don't know Kevin. I know just about everybody in Hoop, but Kevin and I have never met, but I'll tell you this much, just in talking to people I've talked to today, you know, and from people I really respect, nothing but just incredibly good stuff, not only just from a, you know, basketball perspective, but a very humble and gracious guy, you know, that I think made the choice to step off the crazy NBA carousel and hunker down. I know he's got two younger kids that he wants to see, you know, grow up. And the NBA is a tough, even doing what I do, which is just basically living on I-15 between Provo and Delta Center, you know, it's crazy on my life. I can't even imagine with a coach doing everything they have to do. So in some respects, I think it's an opportunity for him to watch his kids play hoop and watch his kids grow up, all the while being heavily involved in a crazy athletic or a competitive pursuit of college basketball, and to represent a place that's important to him, you know, because of his faith.
And getting paid adequately.
I would say pretty good. I'm going to say it wasn't like that when I was around. You know, but, hey,
Tim, you got to get back into coaching, my friend. You got to get back on that train.
Man, it's
7 years, it's $30 million at BYU. Are you kidding me?
I'm telling you, man, when I first went into BYU, I remember going to my first kind of big athletic department meeting, and, you know, budgets were talked about, and, you know, I didn't really think much of it. But when they went independent, you know, the budget was considerably increased, and, you know, they were able to do some things that they hadn't been able to do outside of a very minimal budget. You know, that independence move gave them a huge opportunity, and then the Big 12 just made that, you know, that budget grow even more. So, you know, I think it's awesome. I'm really excited, because I think that, you know, if you're going to truly be competitive, I think you have to do that. And you know, so I think they made a huge commitment, and I laud the work by Tom Homo, who continues to prove he's probably as good an AD as you could ever have. And a heck of a great guy, and Santiago, who just is the dude out in the, you know, pressing the flesh and getting to know the people, the movers and the shakers. You know, I think those guys did a great job.
What is that expectation down at BYU? You know, over the years, ever since I was a player, there's been this crazy expectation of BYU with this new move into the Big 12. We get Mark Pope having a pretty good year. Now he's gone. Kevin Young's in. What is this basketball expectation of being competitive in the Big 12 and being there? What is that between fans, administration? What is that level? What is the energy down there around expectations?
Well, I would say that it's pretty expected, and probably, you know, rightfully so, with the ability and the budget and everything else, to make it to the tournament, particularly now. In the mid-majors, you know, you didn't have a whole lot of control. If there was a decision to be made, it was basically, do we let the Power Five in or do we let a mid-major? And I mean, for a lot of years, a lot of great mid-majors kind of stood on the outside without a lot of control. But I think during the Dave Rose era, BYU became a nationally relevant. I think the groups helped, you know, build that. But I think obviously with Jimmer, similar to this Caitlin Clark thing, I think the BYU logo was fully accepted and understood, you know. And I think that what that did was just bring that awareness. So I think the lowest that anybody wants to see BYU is they want to see them get to the tournament. Like this year. This year would be, because I lived a lot of them when I first got to BYU, you get to the tournament and you lose in the first round. And then, you know, your 28-win season doesn't seem so great. But it to me, it's about winning in the tournament, getting to the tournament and winning in the tournament. And I do believe that BYU could be really poised with this new coach and what I understand, a real commitment to NIL. I think BYU could be a fixture at the top of the, you know, top half of the Big 12 for a long time.
What does Kevin need to do to be successful at BYU and make a smooth transition from the NBA? I think that's the biggest question for him, right?
I don't think he needs to get far. I think if you look at every great BYU team in history, I think you start with the base that makes the most sense, and that is, you know, the best players that have an affinity due to religious purposes for BYU. And I think you exhaust that, because those kids, you know, a lot of kids grow up wanting to be different, play for different schools. But most kids that grew up Mormon, you know, they grow up thinking about BYU, and because either their parents went there or their uncles went there. So I think that's where you start. And I honestly believe in the 2 years that Mark, you know, he finished fifth in the WCC just a year ago. Like, they got away from a lot of that. They really tried to go make, you know, the outside world kind of the priority. And they would just, hey, okay, you can come play here. You can come play here. It's interesting this year, they really got back to playing a bunch of local kids mixed in, you know, with guys from the outside. So I think you just got to always understand what your base is. I think the recruiting in Utah is really important too, to own that, because there's great players that come out of here and you don't want to see them go other places. And then really use your international ties. I think, you know, that's a growing area. You know, the BYU has been able to tap into a little bit here, and just continue to build on that.
Let's transition back to the NBA and the Utah Jazz. Danny Ainge addressed the media today. It was really fascinating. Almost 40 minutes of remarks. Took questions for quite a while. I'm sure you listened to that, bits and pieces at the very least. What stood out to you about what Danny Ainge had to say today?
Well, first, I just love Danny's approach. I got fortunate enough to just kind of have opportunities to get to know him while I was at BYU. And I've said this before, but I think, you know, I didn't know what to expect. My expectation, I mean, Danny Ainge was basically my Jimmer Fredette, you know, and I was a kid. I grew up in that place and watched him, you know, night after night put on a show. And I have little journals of mine when I was a kid that says, you know, who's your hero? And it was Danny Ainge. So, I mean, I grew up just worshiping this dude. And so, you hold those people on a pedestal, obviously, and when you meet them, you either, you know, you're either confirmed or disappointed. And I couldn't tell you how impressive he is as just a person. So down to earth for his accomplishments. And I actually had the unique opportunity to recruit his kid to BYU. And so that was always something I'll look back on. And I remember it was his son Cooper, and Cooper is a great young player, but we just didn't have enough scholarships. And so we went out and actually offered him a preferred walk-on position. And as you can imagine, I was scared to death. This is the single greatest player to ever play at BYU. And to go back there and have to say that. And his answer when I said it, as opposed to, you know, I had a lot of people didn't have his clout that had a lot more to say. But Danny basically said, looked at us, Coach Rose and I, and he said, you know what, guys, that's a fair offer. I like that. It feels good. And I'll never forget. But after tough losses, you know, not coming in and berating and saying, what were you guys thinking? More like, hey, you guys will figure it out, you know, and you're good coaches. And So I got to see that side of him, and I loved listening to him talk basketball. That's my first impression. I think beyond that, it's just interesting how, you know, he calls it like he sees it. I think he doesn't, you know, he's very authentic. I think he doesn't mince words. He was very honest about where he feels like things are. And I think that Jazz fans should be encouraged, because I heard, if things could fall into place, I heard the term big game hunting. And I feel like the Jazz could really make a move, you know, in the off season, that not knowing what it is right now, but if something were to pop and they were able to make it, I think this team next year could be really, really solid and, you know, really kind of, as he said, you know, start making your run for the playoffs.
Yeah. Expect the unexpected this summer. Who knows what can happen? We've had this conversation before. We have no idea what player could become available. You're looking at the Bucks right now, and that looks like a team that could implode. That could send shockwaves through the NBA. All kinds of things can happen. You never know. But there's no doubt that he's going to try to do everything he can to make this team better. Last thing I wanted to bring up to that point, he did mention the big game hunting. He also said he doesn't want to go to training camp with six kids under 20. I think they're going to be pretty active on draft day and possibly trying to reduce the amount of young guys and use those picks for value. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think I trust what Danny said. I think they have a good plan in place. And, I think plan, as he said, you've got a lot of options. And, you know, that would probably be option, at least I heard him say ABC. I would say that's down the list. And so you would assume that making some move, mixing some things, you know, they are great at finding talent. He mentioned Chris Dunn. I think Chris Dunn's been a revelation, and he was a guy they picked up out of the league. So I think that's encouraging. They know players. They understand the needs they have. And I don't know if there's a better guy putting things together on paper. I really don't.
Tim, it's always great talking hoop. We appreciate you. Crazy day. You were perfect for this. You gave us some great stuff. We appreciate it. As always, look forward to the next conversation.
Thank you so much. Go Cougs.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Sly's angry now.
I was just about to say bye.
Hey, Sly, I'm a U grad too, so go Utes.
All day, baby.
Hey, that's like a well-said politician there. Good job, Tim. You're the best. Thanks.
I will not raise taxes.
Not gonna debt. Tim Lacombe, the best. All right.